The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Hello again, everybody. Kip Kiefer on TKR with another edition coming up of Need to Know. We get together on Monday mornings to put this show on the air and appreciate everybody who tunes in and hopes that they will have a pearl of wisdom to take away at the end of each program. I try to do what I can, and I've got a good theme for this week's show because I don't have anything specifically to zero in on except for just overall kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, mayhem, madness, normality, life as we know it. The theme today of the program is it's a crazy world, and that certainly doesn't narrow it down because that pretty much describes every aspect of our current life. There's a great singer, songwriter, musician, I don't know what genre you describe, but I've been privileged to see him a couple of times. Big old fella, redheaded guy named Mac Bacchanali. He was from Mississippi. He started off playing music in church and ended up getting recruited by a country band guy to go up to the big city of like Memphis or Nashville. I can't remember exactly where, but he's played on a lot of different albums. He's written a lot of songs. He wrote songs actually for Jimmy Buffett for a while. One of them called It's My Job that became a decent hit. But Mac McAnally had a song of his own, and it's hard to find Mac's music, but it's worth it because he's got a lot of really introspective and interesting songs. But it fits the theme of today's show, It's a Crazy World. But I, as much as I love Mac's lyrics and his kind of whole oh shucks, what the hell attitude, I don't agree completely with the lyrics the song, but I'm giving you fair warning. Get the kids into a safe place because I'm going to sing the chorus right here of It's a Crazy World to set the stage for today's show. Here's how it goes. It's a crazy world, but I live here, and if you can hear me singing, so do you. And I'm turning out my nightlight, feeling satisfied that there's nothing any one of us can do. Nah, there's nothing any one of us can do. Okay, it's safe to come out from your shelter now. I'm done singing for the day. Anytime I get a chance to belt out a few lyrics, I'm going to take advantage. That's just one of your forewarnings going into any broadcast of Need to Know. Anyway, I told you that It's a Crazy World's the theme, and Max seems to believe it's a crazy world. And I do agree with him. There's nothing any one of us can do. I completely emphatically agree with that statement, but I don't agree that there's nothing we can do about the crazy world. And I feel good that maybe, just maybe, the trend is starting to change to the attitude that we can do some things together in terms of making the some of the ridiculous directions this world has gone and really transparent situations where people take these stands for things that are just, I mean, they're indefensible. Having men play in women's sports, having a gender altering mutilation surgery on small children because they supposedly identify as the opposite gender. When you're a small child, you can't make that decision. Not to mention the fact that, you know, you got to deal with this. There's male and there's female. That's it. There's two sexes. Now, people can argue that how you identify gender wise can determine who you actually are. And that's a debate for, you know, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. But the whole thing about that is, you have to let people mature and become adults. You don't allow and you don't encourage a child to have mutilating surgery that will plague them the rest of their lives, cause psychological problems, and make them a patient the every day of their life for the rest of their lives. It deems that. And that's why you've got major health conglomerates and different things all on board. So that's just a couple of examples. Back to the theme, it's a crazy world because we can utilize two words, medium-sized words, that can really alter that path. And those words, as I always preach from the highest rooftop, climb the highest mountain to proclaim, those two words are common sense. Common sense is the key. Think about every aspect of an issue. Consider what the voices are saying. Consider what your initial thoughts are. And then, more important, ask yourself a couple of important questions. Number one, what is motivating this movement? What is inspiring these people that are stepping up and stepping on their soapboxes and endorsing things that are, frankly, not endorsable? We have to make sense of so much of the noise that we have to endure. And you can always, always ask yourself the question, what is behind this? Who benefits from this? What is the purpose of all of this, minutia? And it always comes down to the same thing. Usually, it's follow the money. That's what usually motivates every situation that we deal with. It's usually an economic situation. So with all that being said, if we utilize common sense, we can start to take some steps to try to understand this crazy world. So let's start today on the crazy world scene with these headlines. In Washington today, in just an hour or two from when I'm making this recording, you are going to be hearing about news of the President of the United States welcoming an unprecedented delegation to the White House. Never before have so many prominent figures in one meeting assembled in Washington. They come individually, and you see dignitaries all the time. But today, we will have high-ranking or heads of state from all over Europe, the European Union, the EU, their executive president, director, whatever that person's called. You will have the executive secretary of NATO, the North American Treaty Organization. You also will have the heads of state from England, from France, from Italy, from Germany, from Finland. If I left anybody out, my apologies. But that's the gist of the all-star roster. And you will have Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, because the topic on the table today with President Trump is to talk about the Ukraine war. And just about all the time that I've been coming to you on Need to Know here on TKR, I've been talking about the Ukraine war and all of the situations relating to it. And to circle back to the theme I just encourage you to do, let's take a look at the Ukraine war against Russia. Russia's certainly the instigator. Russia, under Vladimir Putin, a communist, Marxist, complete dictator of his country, a man that wins elections every however many years they have the election take place. But if you believe those are free and fair elections, I've got some prime swampland right in the middle of the Everglades, right next door, as a matter of fact, to the alligator Alcatraz, that I can get you for a low, low bargain price. You know, Vladimir Putin, let's talk about Vladimir Putin first, the first of the principals. You know, Donald Trump met him on a American Air Force base in Alaska last Friday, just a couple of days ago. And they had a 3-hour session to talk about what it would take to get Russia to cease the aggression against Ukraine. And Vladimir Putin, a communist, a Marxist, the head of the country of Russia, no longer the Soviet Union. But don't forget what Vladimir Putin's background was. He was a high-ranking KGB operative. That's the equivalent in Russia to our CIA. These are the intelligence guys. These are the developers of all kinds of theories about how they can keep their place in the world, how they can steal information, how they can engage in espionage. These are the spies. These are the plotters. These are the lifeblood of really the side of government that is the shadiest. And they're involved in political, manipulation, assassinations, regime changes, tinkering with all the rest of the world, supposedly in the interest of their countries. That's where Vladimir Putin came from. And he rose to power after a series of things, including Ronald Reagan telling Premier Gorbachev, who he had developed a real close personal relationship, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall," ordering the Russians to go ahead, tear down the barrier in the middle of Berlin between East and West Germany that existed for so many years. And because of the big stick that Ronald Reagan wielded at that time, and the big stick was the ability to economically completely impact the Soviet Union at the time. The Soviet Union was a colossal failure. It was a runaway train about to go off the cliff because the economy, the whole program of socialism, which was the beginning of the Bolshevik Revolution in the 1917, that had really transformed to a vicious and brutal dictatorship, beginning starting under Lenin, but his successor Joseph Stalin took it to a whole new level. Millions of Russians were starved, murdered, sent to godforsaken places where they were sent basically to die in Siberia and other places in exile. This is one of the most evil regimes in the history of our world. But eventually, those kind of regimes die out on their own because they cannot be economically sustainable. And that's what was happening at the end of the tenure of the USSR, Reagan calling for the decimation of the wall, which was the last really living symbol of the Soviet Union, which broke into pieces. All of their holdings and territories had been relinquished. They didn't have the financial wherewithal to impose their brutal rule and all of their control. So all of those broke off into separate countries. And that's the world that we live in today. But enter in this KGB all-star, Vladimir Putin, who's now been the strongman ruler because in the very difficult process of trying to transform the Soviet Union into a world citizen country. And the United States, several presidents were very helpful in trying to plug them into that loop. But at the core of the situation, you've got a very strong group of leadership in communist Russia, and they've never disavowed that that is the nature of their government. They're trying to have it both ways, just like China now. We're a communist regime, but we are involved in free market, free enterprise, world investment. You can't have both. I told you last week, the whole principle of a democratic socialist is absolutely ridiculous. It's like declaring yourself a violent pacifist, or as the example I used last week that a lot of people have seemed to have enjoyed, a carnivorous vegan. These are conflicting terms. You cannot be a economically plugged in communist. Those are two completely contradictory terms. And yet that's the game that Russia and China continue to play, because you have to have economy to sustain whatever regime you want. But here's the dirty little secret that nobody knows. And Kip Kiefer knows, because Kip Kiefer reads and does his own research and finds these things out for himself. If I ask each and every one of you, what is Vladimir Putin's personal net worth as the communist leader, the great regime, everybody ties for first place? We live in this kumbaya society where everybody exists to help the state and their fellow Russians. What is the leader of that regime's net worth? If I tell you the number, don't fall off your chair, because in a communist country, the leader of that country, Vladimir Putin, net personal worth is estimated to be $125 billion. 125 with a B, $1 billion. Now, how is that possible? Well, let me tell you how it's possible. They exploit all of their citizens to put this collective shoulder to the wheel mentality. And at the same time, and as we watch in this country, and I'm going to tie it into what's happening here, because we all need to be aware of this. This whole prospect of Democrat socialism, this whole dream of everybody tying for first place and everybody being part of this great collective and everybody contributing to the state being whole and strong and solid, is the biggest myth, biggest crock of you know what ever perpetrated. Because what happens is the super elites, the ones who take control of governments and do not allow free and fair elections, it's always rigged, it's always engineered. So yeah, they have elections, you go vote. But remember what Joseph Stalin says, which I remind you of all the time here. Joseph Stalin said, it doesn't matter who casts the vote. All that matters is who counts the vote. And that is so important for you to remember. We experienced it in 2020 in this country. Doesn't matter who cast the votes. What mattered is who counted the votes. So we can talk about the great idea of this collective society where there is no classes. Everybody, it's diversity, equity, inclusion. You know what equity means? That doesn't mean equality. Equity means everybody comes to the same level of standing in life. And that means if you are on top, if you are thriving, then you have to take steps back to fit with the equity of your fellow citizens. And if you're at the very bottom, you need to be boosted up by those people taking a step back and being taxed to the point where they cannot accumulate wealth. They don't have incentive to work or produce anymore. And when you get that kind of society that has no incentive, that can't get ahead, that is not motivated to do great things, they're just motivated to sit around and basically depend on the state to give them whatever minuscule handout they need to just basically survive. That's what socialism turns into. And it becomes even more brutal than that, because when you get into the dictatorship of Marxism and communism, it gets brutal that anybody who complains, anybody who's not a happy camper that just doesn't accept the way it is, they get accosted, arrested, sometimes executed, sometimes exiled at best. But it's a brutal and never-ending situation. The KGB, of course, in charge back in the day in the USSR of identifying dissidents and taking action to get them off the street, to get their voices to not be heard. And that's where this dictator, Vladimir Putin, comes from. Terry Quillian, my radio partner, who worked in two presidential administrations, happened to be on a trip with the vice president on a big delegation with Mike Pence in the first Trump administration. She was on the travel squad advance team to go to Singapore for a World Economic Forum that was attended by world leaders. Representing the United States was Vice President Mike Pence. Terry tells a chilling story of when she walked in the room, basically for the first session. Vladimir Putin came in, and she said the man just reeked like sheer arrogance, a complete disregard for others. She said it was the only human being she'd ever been in close context with that she just got this dread thought of sheer evil. That's what this guy projected to her. And she said the whole time she was in the room, she was uncomfortable, like he was some otherworldly figure from the wrong side of the otherworldly ledger. But that was her impression of him. And, you know, I trust Terry's instincts. She has had a long career, basically, of assessing people. And she was a crisis communications expert. And, you know, that was her initial opinion of Putin. But here's a guy that is presiding over a communist country with a net worth of $125 billion. I have come across, he has got like four different homes in Russia. Of course, the claim is they belong to the state, but he's the one who utilizes them. This is a country where there's abject poverty. The economy is just absolutely awful. He has sent millions to their death in this war in Ukraine, because what he dreams of, what he aspires to do, is to revive the once mighty Soviet Union and start to recapture those territories that were taken away with the crumbling economically of the USSR. And he believes passionately that Ukraine is not a separate country. It is traditionally Russian territory. And he has taken the steps over the last couple of years to try and militarily make that country collapse. The predictions were by experts, and certainly was Putin's opinion, that Ukraine would fold in a very short period of time. But that's not happened, because the Ukrainian people are fierce. I remember we used to joke, we played a game called Risk, which was a big global like war game, board game. And one of my friends would say, I'm going to take control of the Ukrainian region because they have crack troops there. And I guess that's just been the reputation of the Ukrainian persona for many, many decades. But the whole line about crack Ukrainian troops has proved true, because the Ukrainians took just enough steps in their own defense to make sure that if Russia ever got aggressive again, because during the Obama administration, if you remember, the Russians seized control of the basically most important port and coastal ocean area of northwestern, or actually northeastern Ukraine, the Crimea area, and they seized control of that without a single shot being fired, because the previous administration to Zelensky were basically puppets of the Russian government. But now the Ukrainian people, so outraged by that action and so outraged by the fact that the Obama administration and the other European leaders did nothing to stop that, Crimea fell into Russian hands, but the country of Ukraine was determined that it wasn't going to happen with any more of their territory. And hence this latest Putin incursion coming up on 3 years ago has been fought off at such a high cost of human life and destruction to so much of their country, but it continues and it's got to stop. And just to give you kind of an overview of what's happening today, Donald Trump has been cast, of course, by the legacy media, which is just a joke. They're a legacy of lying and falsehoods and fake news and really inflated partisan takes on things, because these are mostly now managed and staffed in not only in the on camera, but in the back rooms and in the executive headquarters. These are mostly these radicalized Ivy League elitist thinkers that come from all these blue blood silver spoon backgrounds. These people have never had a financial woe in their life, pretty much. These are the people that all the big media corporations hire. They are singing from the same hymnal as the far, far progressive left and telling you things that are just so totally not true. So the bottom line is, that's what we're dealing with here, is a really unholy alliance of probably the most evil man on the face of the earth, Vladimir Putin, and his apologist here in the United States, trying to justify this whole movement to the far left, which is the first step, of course, toward our country taking this Democrat socialist turn, which once again, that term is so ridiculously contradictory, it doesn't apply whatsoever. So as you watch Zoran Ramdani, I always want to say Danny because that's how it's spelled, Ramdani, doing his thing, trying to become the mayor of New York, and with the TikTok ads telling people that everything is going to be free, everybody's going to have less costs, the government's going to be the masters of the production and going to run the stores and make rent affordable for everybody and make New York this giant kumbaya place. Basically, it is the same argument made back in the Bolshevik Revolution, back in the Russian days. It was the conversion of China after the atrocities of World War II, where the Japanese, of all people, were the cruel oppressors, murdering millions of Chinese citizens, and the Chinese government was formed shortly thereafter, Mao Zedong taking control of everything in China and taking them in a direction where they are today, that once again resulted into the loss of millions and millions of lives. And they are trying to play that game of teetering on that wall between communist oppression and suppression and still trying to be an economic power, and those things don't add up in the end. Just to give you an overview from a common sense situation as you consider all these things, what's happening right now in Washington with these leaders today? You've heard the liberal media saying, well, all of these people are accompanying Zelensky to Washington because they have to protect him from Trump bullying him to accept a deal with his buddy, Vladimir Putin. First of all, Trump says, I have a good relationship with Putin. We communicate. But Trump has been saying, if you're paying attention, I've just about had it with Putin. And Trump is a deal maker. Trump can sit down. If you go into a serious negotiation with someone, you have to establish a relationship. You're not going to succeed to achieve your goal if you take this attitude that, I don't like this guy. I don't like how he operates. You've got to find the common ground. You've got to establish a relationship. That's how negotiation is succeeded. It's using your personality and your wit and your tactical approach to make this person comfortable enough to sit down and really communicate with you on an effective level. So when Trump talks about his relationship with Putin, that's what he's talking about. Donald Trump has no personal admiration for this vicious dictator who he well knows is typical of this movement of this far left, this seizing control of everything and becoming the means of production. The government is in charge of everything from education, which is really indoctrination, to manufacturing, to distribution, and it doesn't work. Government sucks at running people's lives. They are inefficient and they are corrupt. And you look at the Soviet Union, which is now Russia, and the same basic people, the super elites, the ones who exploit all the workers, who keep all the wealth for themselves and become these elitist superpowers, individuals worth billions of dollars. You hear Bernie Sanders, the classic Democrat socialist, talk about Trump is controlled by oligarchs. Russia invented the oligarch. Trump is not controlled by oligarchs. Oligarchs control the government, and Vladimir Putin is definitely, with his estate overlooking the Black Sea, which is worth $1 billion. It's got ballrooms. This is a residence. It's got ballrooms that can be converted into a full-scale casino or nightclub. It has an underground ice rink that you can play hockey or skate or, I was reading some of the amenities of this place where he spends a lot of his time, and it's just unbelievable. The decadence and the audacity of these people in these positions in communist countries, there's always an elitist controlling party. It is not everybody ties for first place. It is certainly not equity, and it is farthest thing from equality you can possibly imagine. This is corruption. It is just, it's so vile to even describe it. The complete hypocrisy of anybody who's espousing this far progressive America needs to be socialized kind of attitude. And these dangerous candidates, both in New York City and Minneapolis and Seattle, that are running on these platforms and convincing people that they need to think about going that direction. You need to use your common sense. You need to talk to each other. We can't. Yeah, maybe Mac McAnally's right. There's nothing any one of us can do, but collectively we can keep resisting and rejecting the ridiculously irrational opportunities supposedly presented to us by listening to any of these snake oil salesmen. It kills me when traditional Democrats say, well, Mondani is inspiring. He's so bright and has so many great ideas for the American people. Wrong answer. He has nothing of those things. This guy comes from privilege himself. His parents, his father is some elite professor, tenured professor at Columbia. You see what's happening at Columbia in recent, in the last couple of years. All of these anti-Semitic protests. That's how all of this starts, folks. It's every movement like this, it's all for the people. It's all going to be great. Everybody's going to be able to thrive here. You don't have to worry about anything. The government will take care of you from cradle to grave. if you're listening to any of that, if any of your young people are listening to that, if anybody believes it, we need a serious lunacy warrant to be issued around the entire world, especially in our country, because if America starts to buy that banana, we're all in big trouble, because the only reason that the whole world hasn't transformed in that direction is because that vision that people had coming to this country so many years ago has rang true. America has preserved liberty and freedom for people all over the world. And in the pockets where it is percolating, unfortunately, it always takes care of itself. You just have to outlast it, because economically, it is not sustainable to have one super elite class while everybody else is impoverished and struggling, starving, and not producing. And that is the bottom line. And that's the common sense I wanted to convey. Yes, it's a crazy world and we live here, but there's something collectively all of us can do. And that's use our common sense, ask yourself the right questions, and do the right things. I'm Kip Kiefer. That's what you need to know. Back next week with more. Thanks for listening.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.